In Silicon Valley, the phrase, boys will be boys, is increasingly becoming, boys will be sued. Tech companies continue to grapple with sexism and gender inequality in the workplace. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton and guest host Julian Guthrie speak with a feminist author and a computer programmer who lost a job at Google for his memo about the differences between men and women in tech.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening to this week's special edition of Techonomics. Now, that may sound a little bit like an after-school special, but we are dedicating the entire show to a continuing issue and conversation around gender inequality in the tech industry. We have four reasonable and rational voices trying to keep this conversation going. Why is Silicon Valley so terrible at gender equality in the workplace? Let's face it. The Valley and tech companies in general have been given the biggest hall pass ever by our modern culture. Privacy issues, okay. Monopolistic behavior, why not? Programmers. But that free pass seems to be expiring, and tech needs to address the biggest cultural issue it has, gender inequality. We have James Damore this week, the now unemployed author of a Google memo, where he wrote why women are not as well equipped as men to succeed in Silicon Valley. We also have Dr. Luann Brizendine. She is a neuropsychiatrist who is a researcher, clinician, and professor at the University of California, San Francisco. She is the author of two books, The Female Brain and The Male Brain. Also joining me is Julian Guthrie. Julian is the author of How to Build a Spaceship. She's a veteran journalist, and she's hosted Techonomics before. Here's part two of this week's four segments on gender inequality in tech.
First of all, I want to say hello to James, and I've reviewed your document in great depth, and I think it's very interesting, and it matches up a lot with certainly the work that I have done. Let's address the issue of neuroticism, and the five factors of personality that you refer to, of course, are the openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and then the N, the last one, stands in some for neuroticism, and now it's been changed to negative emotions.
Right.
And as you say, you know, worrying is one of those. Anxiety and worrying falls in that. And we know from my work, and of course, you know, I run the Women's Mood and Hormone Clinic, where I have a lot of women that I treat with anxiety and depression, and we know culture and worldwide, the ratio of anxiety, as we call them in my field, anxiety disorders, is 4-to-1 ratio female to male, and depression is 2-to-1 female to male. During the reproductive years, you know, and before and after that, it's male-female about 1-to-1. So something about the fluctuating hormones and reproductive fertile years in a female's life does somehow predispose them, like you say. Maybe I get the hypothesis that a lot of it is tuned evolutionarily to attend to worrying about children. And I think that you really open up a whole window of talking about something that's really a truth that's not spoken or not allowed to be spoken, maybe because of leftist politics, to say that, you know, women during the childbearing years, actually, when a child is sick at home, even though the mother and father, let's say, have an egalitarian relationship, have jobs that pay the same amount, have jobs with the same amount of responsibility, something like 78% of the time, it's the mother who will stay home with the sick child or attend to whatever needs to be done that day with a sick child and not the father. So you can see how that reflects and impacts on the workplace issues.
Right.
So I do think that you're on, James, to something, you know, very, very important here. If you get really deeply into this, the five factors of personality and neuroticism and those issues that psychologists have tested, and this has been for 50 years, this is nothing new. This scale has been around for maybe even like 60 years now. They continue to try to factor out anything that has a big skew in the gender area, which the other four factors do not have. But that one persists to have, and it is something that certainly, you know, worries the people that do this, because they'd like to have it be a 1-to-1 ratio in terms of personality, because it's complicated. And I think before we go further, we should just make sure that we say one thing. You know, the male and female brain are more alike than different. After all, we are the same species.
Right.
So that said, and 50% of the highest IQs are female, 50% of the highest IQs are male. And, you know, you can talk about the skew factor on the ends, and there's lots of disagreement on the two ends of the bell-shaped curve. But by and large, that does not mean that males or females are more intelligent or less intelligent than each other. On average, it's the same. And on average, many things are the same. There are lots of, as you point out, small differences. And if you look at the two curves at a population level, you make a big hill out of the male and a big hill out of the female, and you put a flagpole up at the top of that hill, that difference between those two is called the gender difference. And that can be anywhere from almost nothing to something that may be an overlap of 10, 20, 30, 40%. You know, it varies on different factors that you look at. So males and females are more alike than different, but there are some differences that impact all of us. And I know that Julian is writing a book on how that works in Silicon Valley for women. As we know, in psychology, the biggest factor in humans that is the difference at a like almost a 20-to-1 ratio is physical aggression in males to females. It's about in the 20-to-1 ratio. However, if you look at anger, feelings of anger, it's 1-to-1 male to female. So it's not that females feel any less angry than men. That's equivalent, but actually the bigger muscular size and testosterone and actual physical aggression in males is hugely larger than females. Now, what does that mean in the workplace? It shouldn't mean anything in the workplace, but it's one of the things that psychologists have known is the biggest factorial difference in behavior in males and females.
Luann, is there anything that you really disagreed with in what James wrote?
I think James overall did an excellent job of most of what he wrote. And, you know, he's not someone who, like I do, spent all my time, you know, reading and dealing with the literature and the data in this area. So there are little quibbles I can make about little things, but they don't really make in the gist of the whole thing very much a difference. So I really feel that in diving, I mean, when I first heard about it in the news, I looked at it in a cursory way, and then I did a deeper dive into it and find that he has a very interesting and valid argument in many areas. And I'm sure if he had another 6 months because of his, you know, molecular biology and biological background to just sit and read all the literature, he would tweak and come up with something that's, you know, very specifically current, in that there's lots of circuitry in the brain that develops during fetal life when, at, of course, you know, when the X or the Y enters the egg, we become either male or female, and within 8 weeks, the tiny testicles start pumping out huge amounts of testosterone and marinates the male brain, turning the circuitry into male, and the female brain is left unperturbed by testosterone. So by the time we're all born, we're either, you know, have a male or female brain propensity in the circuitry. And then, of course, culture and environment, how we're raised, what we're taught is the correct way to behave as a male or female, comes in and plays on all of us and ends up making about 50% of the difference on top of the genetics, the circuitry, and the hormones. So, you know, we come in primed for maleness or femaleness by the hormones and our genetics. And then that, you know, of course, plays out in our life cycle, and different stages of our life are certainly different. And in the workplace now, of course, we're trying to match up so that people that are, you know, the female engineers and male engineers, you know, can have the same opportunities. And, of course, I've talked with some young females who have gone in for interviews and, you know, tried at the entry level, and they feel like even after they're on teams for the first few years, they don't feel like they're listened to as much. They feel like they're kind of in the boys' club, and they feel awkward and they don't feel like it's a comfortable work environment often for them. And I think companies are trying to attend to that. I don't know, James, maybe you can say whether Google is, I mean, sometimes the pendulum swings way too far, and I don't know, I mean, you're talking about what's going on inside of Google, that maybe the pendulum has really swung way too far, where the young males are being discriminated against because everything is pulling in the direction of trying to make females more comfortable in that environment, and it's going a bit in the other direction. I don't know if that's true, James, or not.
Yeah, James, what is your take on that hypothesis? I know she's on your reading list already, so maybe anecdotally we can get some feedback from Dr. Brizendine, too. Is that what you felt when you published the article?
Yeah, I definitely think that the pendulum has swung a little too far, and I think part of the reason is that no one can give a dissenting opinion without being shamed or, in my case, fired. And so there's nothing to stop it from coming back to the center.
That was the second segment of this week's conversation around a gender inequality in Silicon Valley and overall tech sector. James Damore is the author of the Google memo you've probably heard about, where he concluded that women were not of the right temperament to succeed in tech. Dr. Luann Brizendine is a neuropsychiatrist and the author of two books on the subject, The Male Brain and The Female Brain. Also joining me on the chat, of course, was Julian Guthrie. She's a journalist, an author, and a fill-in host here on Techonomics. All four of this week's segments are online at kgoradio.com/Techonomics. Now, just look for the story that goes with this week's show. All the links are inside there. There are also longer web-only versions of all of these segments. Coming up, part three of four, where we dive back into our gender inequality conversation, and James Damore gets a little bit of career advice, too. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please come on back.